Before we look into the Word, I want to bow our heads one more time and pray. Dear Lord, we ask for mercy today, dear God. We know, Lord, that it is your inspiration, it's your Spirit that can heal us, that can help us, and that can speak through us in ways that allow us to be healed. Dear God, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would anoint what is done and said here, Lord, that it would be yours. That it would be your glory, your way, done in your time, and in every way, God, the words would be yours. Lord, I pray that you have mercy and be with us, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to start in James, the fourth chapter. And I appreciate the song. I appreciate the one being willing to stand up here when the Lord puts something on their heart and share it. And as we have this message today, I never want to get ahead of the message and say, well, it's going to be about this and this and this. But I hope that the song stays with you. And that, you know, sometimes we hear things from the Word of God and it's like, wow, that's pretty rough. But the truth is, if it's from the Lord, it may sound rough to the human ears, but to the soul that's allowing God to open those doors and work in those rooms, well, it's a blessing. It's what we want to hear. It's what we want to hear. We don't want me to come up here and just say some words, hard or soft or whatever they may be, because all they can do is come to our ears when they're my words or whoever's words that's standing up here. But if the Lord speaks and if we open up those doors and allow Him to go past our ears into our heart, then God can do something. And I assure you, it's either something you need done or something you're going to need done. One way or another, if you're not in that place now, God sees something coming. He doesn't just take one person and say, well, I got something for them today, and all the rest of y'all are going to have to sit here and just bear with it. The Lord's got a way to speak the Word. And that's why I pray every time I get up here, God have mercy, because just my words can't do that. But the Lord's words can speak to everyone who's in this place today. Yes. And so I want to encourage you just to open up the door of your heart. Just let Him, no preconceived notions, nothing like that. Just let Him open up and come in. If it's something He wants to do, just let Him do it today. There's no better way. It's a blessing. All right, so we're looking in James here. And the fourth chapter. And God has, I didn't even realize it when He started putting this message on my heart. Try real hard not to come into it in my notions, try to let the Lord just speak to me. And He started putting this message on my heart. I didn't even see it till this morning. I realized, God, you gave me something like this not long ago. In fact, it might have been last week. My wife would have to tell me for sure probably, but you gave me something. And I could say safely that it's about a different way. You know, that's a message that's precious to us. And in the world around me, I get the chance to interact daily with people who've never heard of the Church of God. And I'll be honest to you, I don't even really tell them. And they've asked me, where do you worship? I live separated quite a ways away. Those who have come to a place where I'm close enough to them and they're really interested, then, you know, maybe. But for the most part, They ask me, where do you worship? Where do you go to church? And for several different reasons, I don't tell them. And you know why? Because where I live, if I said Church of God, then I would need to spend about 2 more hours telling them, there's, it's just such a different way. People have not even really heard of it. And they haven't really heard of the fact that a lot of times, there's somebody somewhere teaching that we can live different. And so God's been giving me this burden because I see it as a precious thing, a treasure that God has given to us to cling to say, you know, this is something that's right. You know what? To be honest, as we sit here, there's probably things we have wrong from time to time in our lives. And as a body, we probably have not made every single decision right. I don't even think God would want that to happen. We'd be so lifted up and proud of ourselves that we always got everything right and fixed every problem and handled every situation and it was just perfect. And we would forget God, probably, because we'd forget how much we need Him and how we have to walk humbly with Him. But I'm going to tell you something. This is something that's right. This idea that we can actually live different. That we don't have to live like the world lives out there. That we don't have to make our choices. That, no, not just on the outside, but to the core of our heart, we can actually be different and have different motives that govern our life. You know, when somebody cuts me off in traffic, smiling because it actually happened this morning, Brother John, you went right with some things we had been talking to the boys about this morning after it happened. And there's a choice right there. I can live like the world lives, or I can live this different way. Which one am I choosing? And yeah, God's got all the power for you, but you're going to have those choices to make in your life. I had that choice this morning in a very real way. I won't bother more than to say completely in the wrong, completely in the right, pretty much. But the anger was all over here and doing some crazy things in traffic that could have caused a wreck. Oh, you're justified. Go ahead. I know there's bad people out there that be justified for wrong reasons, but right there, you're justified. You let them have it. You let them know what they did was wrong. Follow them where they're going and tell them how you don't understand something. Or do we allow the Spirit of the Lord to take over? And our motive now is to live like He wants for a different world. See, that's how it's handled in this world, even in the right way in this world. That's how it's handled. Set things right. But in God's world, it's a different way. That's not how you live in God's world. So let's look at this a little bit. And I thank the Lord as I look out here, I don't see anybody fighting this morning. But remember, God's trying to speak past what you see happening to your heart, to areas that He sees we need help. And it says here, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come not they hence, even of your own lust that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask not and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now, we're going to go back through some of these verses, but I want to stop at that one. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Do you know that when you make a choice, some way in your life, not to live different from the world, but to live like it, whether it seems justified or not, that you're actually walking in adultery with the Lord? He's not talking about husbands and wives that were having problems here. When he says adulterers and adulteresses, he's talking about people who are not living different from the world, but we're living like it. They were allowing the justifications and the correct way in the world and what's right in the world to govern how they were living their life, what they were seeking after, the choices they were making. They were allowing that to happen. And James looks at him and says, you adulterers and you adulteresses, you're supposed to be for the Lord. That's who you're given to. And that's not just so you can wear, and I'll say this for us, well, I don't even want to say it because some people here might not understand, but that's just not so you can look a certain way and go to a certain place on Sundays and be accepted. That's so to the core of who you are, the world will not recognize you as one of them. You know, when you walk, like the world walks, oh yeah, well, I mean, you looked a little different, but hey, and you might still look different, and you might still go to a different place on Sunday, but you know what? You look just like us where it matters. They're looking there too. They're looking in that same place and saying, are you different? Are you just dressed a little different and going to a different place on Sunday and got a few different rules and got a different way to worship? Or are you really different to the core of who you are? The gentleman who's going back to see that person in the hospital. That's different. That's different. Something's different there. To walk back and not walk back with his children and go, now you need to be, hey, my children are here. But to walk back in humility.
Because he's worried about that soul. He's not got anything to gain for himself. I'm just listening to the story. Maybe I'm missing something, but I don't see that. He's going back to the fire because he's worried about the one who's standing in it. The one who's, and we're not just talking about the trial, but the hellfire that the person's warming their feet over. Really close, it sounds like. And he's worried about them. They didn't mean, you know what? They don't want me. I'm not going back. That's how the world would do it. That's not how God does it. It's not how he does it. So it says, "Ye adulterers and ye adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" Enmity. Directly opposed. You know, you get saved and the Lord calls you to be in the world. It's actually against his commandment for you to try to seclude yourself from it completely. We do walk different, but to seclude, to get saved and then say, pulling everything back, not going to have any interactions, going to get as far away completely from the world as possible. Spiritually, that's what you need to do. But physically, God said, Jesus said, "Lord, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil that is there." Keep them from the evil. So as you walk in the world, and you're a friend to the world in that manner, the lines can get blurred sometimes. But he says, "Know ye not that that whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God?" God's not talking about you walking out into it and telling you to pull away from it. But he is telling you, as you're out there in the middle of it, I have the grace for you to be different. When you go out and you do what I said and you walk in the middle of the world, don't come to me later and say, "God, it's just the way they did things. When in Rome, I just acted like a Roman." Twisting the scriptures to excuse our behavior. One place Paul says, "I have not handled the word of God deceitfully." Lord, help us to be careful. God has called us to be there, but he's called us to be different. As you're being a friend to the person, and when they cursed you and persecuted you, and you're going right back to them to show them that love of God, the Lord doesn't want you to start being like them. He wants you to keep doing what you're doing, loving them, showing the love of God to them, but not to become like them, not to let your motivation start being the same. And you know, that's pretty easy. And so, in some ways, when we see them acting really ugly in the world, it's easy to say, you know what, that's not how I'm supposed to act. But when we're rubbing shoulders with them, and we start seeing how they operate, not in the evil necessarily, openly evil ways, but just the motivations that guide their life, the choices they make about where they are, where they live, the things they do. And we start seeing, well they make this decision because their family was right here. Or they make this decision because that was the most money they could make. That was the best offer, and they got another best offer, and it was more money, so they went there. Or they made this decision because I got a lot of respect in this place. Preeminence. These people are going to respect me for who I am. They're going to honor me for who I am. When I walk in with my different way of life, they're going to respect and honor me. So I'm just going to spend all my time around these people. Lord, help us. It starts getting a little close. It starts getting a point where we start feeling a little justified about our choices in life, because it's not as openly evil and wrong and just directly opposed to God. Instead, Satan comes as an angel of light, disguising himself that he may deceive even the very elect. Lord, help us. You know, now it's starting to sound a little closer to me. When I first heard wars and fighting, I don't see that happening here. But Lord, this is where they come from. When my choices start being like the world,
When I start making my decisions based on the same things that the world bases their decisions on, how they do things, where they live, the jobs they take, the places they go, the people they associate with, when I start making my decision based on that, I'm starting to walk a little bit like the world. And that's where it's starting to touch our lives more. That's where it's starting to touch us. God, help us to be careful. God knows where we need to be and where we don't. When we have a decision to make, you know, he said in one place, here in James actually, it says, and well, it's right here in the 13th verse of this chapter. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord wills. The world doesn't do it that way. That's different. You know, we had a decision recently, and we spent time considering all the things that the world considers. So you understand me. In one place it says to count the cost. Another place it says, he that goes against an army of so many men, and it was more than what you have, did not sit down first and consider whether he's able to face that army. So we stop and we think. Don't misunderstand the message. We consider the cost. We consider, but then we come to a point where we say, okay, now we take our time to pray. God, we're not doing this foolishly or just without thought to what it means. But our decision will now be made by what you desire out of our lives. We have considered everything that you brought to our mind. We thought about everything you brought to mind. And now, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? In one place, Jesus even told God how he felt about it. But he still said, not my will, but thine be done. How am I living my life? Am I making all my own decisions based on what I want out of life? Or am I stopping and saying, God, here's how I feel about it. But what's your will? What do you want me to do, Lord? How do you want me to handle this situation? Lord, with my children, here's how I feel about it. Here's what I want to do. But God, what's your will? What do you see is best? Lord, help us. It affects every part of our life. All of it. And what you know what happens? We stop seeking God's will. We start thinking, well, he's got the big things, but I'll handle these things myself. This is just life. I know how to handle this. So I'm going to handle this myself. And pretty soon we have wars and fightings. Where did this come from? What has happened in our families, with our neighbors, in the church, in all whatever facet of our life it's in? Pretty soon we have wars and fightings, and then we're going, where'd this come from? How did this get here? Well, it got there because you stopped saying, God, what is your will? Two people come to you and they say, we think this is right. We think this is right. Well, let's make a decision. Do we take that to the altar and pray? Or do we make a decision? Do we acknowledge God? What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And then he will direct your path. You know, some people could read this verse in James that I read here where it said, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And they kind of say, okay, well, here's what we're going to go. If the Lord wills, it's going to work out. It's not what that verse is saying. Not at all. No, look at other scriptures and put them all together and get the picture of what God's teaching us. He's saying, before you go to do it, stop and say, God, what is your will? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and then he will direct your paths. Then he will take over, and sometimes you'll be in that position where you go, well, I don't know. This is the last place he told me to be, so I'm here, and I know he's working. Like Job said, I know. I look to the right, to the left. I think he said to the left is where he said, where he doth work. I know he's working there. I understand he's working. I don't see it,
So then I say, well, Lord, whatever the will of the Lord is, that's what I guess we'll see here until he shows me something different. But this doesn't come from a place of taking out before you stop and say, God, what is your will? And wait. Wait for him. How many places does it say that? How many places in the Bible, in the Psalms, does it say, wait, I say, on the Lord? You know, I've had the blessing to be around Brother Jerry Lennon a few times. Haven't heard him preach a whole lot. But he preached one message that I never forgot. Because he spent about 50% of that message. I'm throwing a number out there. I don't remember. But I know it was a lot. He said, wait. Wait. Don't ask the Lord to work in your life. And okay, we've asked. All right, let's go. What? Now? In 5 minutes? A day? When do you... I've had somebody ask me that. How long do you wait on the Lord? And I understand where that's coming from. It was somebody who's really wanting to do the will of God. But how long do you wait on the Lord? To eternity. Y'all, it's okay. He's got your life in his hands. He loves you. He cares about you. Nobody wants more out of your life than he does. Nobody wants more for it to be what it ought to be than he does. And even you. Even you don't want it as bad as God wants it for you. When did you go to a cross? When did you send your son to a cross? And not only to a cross, when did you send him to be beaten, spitting on, despised, rejected of men? And yet that was who he was coming for, to save. While we were yet sinners, Christ manifested his love to us. God manifested his love for us, that Christ died for our sins. I know I didn't get that quite right, but I believe I got the message out of what that verse says well enough. While we were yet sinners, he loved us. How long do you wait on the Lord? You know what? If you don't get your answer to your... I tell my children one time, it's one of the best... We had an Easter thing, we walked around anyways. At the end of it, we let balloons go. And we said, no matter what anybody tells you, just remember, until your feet leave the ground, you need to wait on the Lord, basically. We use different words there. Until your feet leave the ground... You know, I know some of us will die and go in the ground. But until your feet leave the ground, wait on the Lord. If you die and you go in the grave, you'll be waiting on him there. Wait on him here. Don't let it be in vain. Wait on him here. Wait on the Lord. I say it again, wait. Listen to him. Attend to him. That word wait means attend to him. Attend to what he might say to you. Listen to that. Let that be your direction in life. It says, come thy not hence, even of your lust that war within your members. Y'all, lust, big, bad word, and it is. It means your desires. So let's read that way. Whence come these wars and fighting in my? Come thy not hence, even of your desires that war in your members? Ye desire and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot hang. You fight more and you have not. Your desires are not what needs to guide your life. They will lead to this fighting, this warring. Problems will come when your desires are what's guiding your life. The Lord needs to take over. And your desires, that's the things that Paul was talking about, saying, I die daily. Paul walked on in the flesh. But daily he had to die out to his desires. The things he might have, his flesh might have wanted in life. Maybe he wanted a little different way. But he said, I die daily. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to have walked this way and then one day the Lord cast me away because I let that, my own desires, my own flesh rise up again and start controlling my life, controlling the direction I'm going. Y'all, it's worth it. It's worth it to live different than the world, to put your old man on that cross and to keep him there. Don't let him climb down. Don't let him start walking around in your life and say, well, I think we ought to do things this way, or I think we ought to do them this way. Don't let him have, just, you find him that he's back off that cross, because you know what? Most likely, I'm not going to say we all will, because it's possible that your old man stays on that cross for the rest of your life.
but probably you're going to find him sneaking around your house one day. Like the song said, when Jesus is coming in your house and trying to open doors, at some point you're probably going to find that old man trying to crawl off that cross and walk around in your room and walk around in your house, and he's trying to open doors. So, you know, I think we ought to do this just a little bit different. Lord, help me. God's been dealing with me about put him on the cross. Don't let him have a way in your life. Don't let him walk around opening up doors. And I think we ought to do this way or this way. Don't let your desires start taking control over what you're going to be willing to do in your life and the places you're going to be willing to go, the things you're going to be willing to say, the ways you're going to be willing to act. Don't let your old man crawl off the cross and start walking around in your life. You know, excuse me just a minute. It says here, it's a verse that just has stuck with me. Actually, I'll tell you, I remember it really coming to me last year at South Carolina when we were down there for the camp meeting. It says here, well, let's not skip over here first. Let's talk about this. Ye fight and war, and yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Don't you know God wants to take care of your life? Stop trying to do it yourself and just stop and ask him to handle the situation. Stop and ask. I think about Judas. If he just stopped and asked, Judas, don't go out and do it the way you think this all needs to end. Stop and ask. How many people, you think about that? Zacchaeus comes to mind. His life was going on, but he stopped and asked Jesus to come to his house. And when he came there, that's when he said, Lord, and I don't believe Zacchaeus was saying, this is the way I've been living my life, giving fourfold back to anyone I've cheated. He said, I've been cheating some people. Lord, help me. Here's what I'm going to do about it. But he stopped and asked. That conversation never would have happened if he hadn't stopped and asked Jesus to come to his house. Lord, come. There's somebody else that's got to come in here and do some work. You know, home remodeling projects, so many times, some of us handle them pretty well, but most of us have been in that position where, not so. A lot of us have been at something in our house that we just couldn't handle, that we thought we could, we got it going, and it did not turn out how we thought it could. It's time to ask somebody else to handle that situation. Stop trying to fix it. That's what we think a lot of times. Well, I'll just put my hands on it and save a lot of money. Everything will be better. And boom, now you've got flooring, your plumbing job. You've got flooring to fix now. You've got cabinets to fix. You've got, you know, and maybe it was something else with you. Maybe it was an electrical job, and maybe you had to have a hand fixed or something because you didn't handle the wires the way they're supposed to. Who knows what it was? It's time to stop. God doesn't want you doing remodeling projects. He has no interest. He's not proud when you come to him. Look what I did. Look how good it looks. Look how... He's like, that is not making the Lord happy with us. And he's not pleased with it. And quite honestly, it's what this verse is talking about. You adulterers and adulteresses. Why are you walking like the world? Why are you trying to handle it yourself? I saved you so that it says, it is God that worketh in us, both to will and do of his good pleasure. What are you doing putting your hands on my job? What are you doing? Can you imagine a master plumber had been in the house and was getting everything working? He stepped out for a moment and you stepped in who knew nothing maybe about plumbing. I say that because that's probably one of the things that challenges me. All right? There's probably several, but that's definitely one. All right? And I put my hands to it. Oh, look what... Oh, can you imagine how irate he would be? What are you doing? I had this all set up. It was perfect. I was just fixing to finish it up and you put your hands in. Now I've got a... You're going to get a bill. You're going to get a bill for this. It's going to be a little more than I told you. You know, that's what you're doing in your life. When you take your hands and you start trying to fix things, you're going to get a bill. There's going to be some. I told the other day, I was telling Clint about this little, this thing I'd heard about tapping the brakes. A minister, or someone I know, is Christian. I'll put him that way. Was listening to and he said, he'd been talking about in the car and trying to correct some children and how children always know just how to get right out of your reach where you can't quite get them. And long story short, the old man came up afterwards and he kind of thought that old man was going to talk to him about trying to spank his child or whatever and kind of correct him about it or whatever. And the old man said, you know what the Lord revealed to me? He said, a tap on the brakes will bring him a little closer. He'll bring him into range. You know, when you put your hands on your life,
That's a little humorous. It's a lot humorous, actually. I thought it was pretty funny. But when you put your hands on your life, you're just asking God to tap the brakes and bring you a little closer for discipline. You're just asking for your to get a bill about something you should have just kept your hands off of. And just said, Lord, how do you want me to handle this situation? In your life, in the lives of those around you, in me and my children's life. Oh, Lord, help me. So many times I have to stop and say, Lord, I want to do it this way. I want to put my hands, and I have put my hands on it and had to fix the way I was doing things at times. And probably I'll have to again, children. You still have to listen and obey. I'll get my part right. But trying to put your hands on it instead of saying, God, what do I do about this situation? And then, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little off here, but you have the wars and the fightings. Instead of stopping and asking first. That was this point. Stopping and asking. Well, then it's got one more point here. It says, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. Okay, we got everything else handled. We're stopping and asking the Lord. And then it's not working out. Why is it not working out? Well, simple question. Did I ask that request for the glory of God? You know, the verse I was fixing to say to you that I felt like was getting off a little bit, I'm going to go ahead and say. One time God revealed to me about with my children about the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Why did you ask? Did you ask to get your wrath satisfied? Did you ask to get the situation satisfied to where you wanted it? Your desire? The way the world handles it? Is that how you were asking? So things could be fixed where you felt good about them now? Or did you ask for the glory of God, for the righteousness? Did you, with my children, did I want the Lord to work in a way so that His righteousness could be seen in their lives and in my life because of what happens out of this situation? You know, because of that, that's what Jesus wanted. That's why He said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Because He wanted more than it to be handled in a way that was pleasant to Him. He wanted righteousness of God, salvation, to be extended to everyone. That was His chance, His opportunity, to everyone. You know, my chance is a little smaller. I have people I touch, though. What is my desire for them? You know, when Jesus prayed that, the next day, was it? He was hanging on a cross. That may be what faces us when we pray this prayer. Do we have enough desire? Like, Lord, I know it's worth it. I know it's worth it. Whatever I have to go to. If I have to go back to that hospital where that man just yelled at me and fussed at me all day long. All the whole time I was there. Embarrassed me in front of my children and my children are traumatized because of what he was saying. But I'm willing to go back because what matters more to me is the righteousness of God, His salvation, to be able to go out to this world, to me, to whoever it is that God's trying to reach in this time. Is that what matters? It probably will cost me something because it'll cost me my desire most always. So there'll be some crucifixion of my flesh. May not of my spirit. May not be of my flesh, but certainly my soul, my spirit, I'm getting this all in my words twisted up. Let me stop. It may not mean I die literally in the flesh, but it will mean my flesh has to get on a spiritual cross and get out of the way and stay on that cross. Lord bless you. You pray for me. I know I want to walk this different way. There's no better way in life. I find more joy in it, and I find that the effect of my life on others is way better than anything I could have done. So why would I hold on to my desire? Why would I keep trying to do it the way I want to do it? Let me take my hands off this job. Me, everyone around me, and let the Lord do His will and have His way. You pray for me.